France win the first game against New Zealand. I think that sets the tone. I think they're the best team in the world.
I'm going to go Ireland. I'm going to get off the fence once and for all. This is our best chance. Really.
Subscribe to the Rugby Stream on the OTB Sports app now.
OTB GAA.
And you're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to five. Now, tomorrow, Ballyhale Shamrocks of Kilkenny meet Antrim's Dunloy in the AIB All-Ireland Senior Club Hurling Championship Final. Ballyhale are the most successful hurling club in the history of the game. They've won 8 All-Irelands, and 5 of those winning teams on them was the former Hurler of the Year, Michael Fennelly, who's now retired. Michael, how are you keeping?
Good, John. Very good, no?
Great to see you and talk to you. And it's fair to say that, Michael, since you've been a child, you've been steeped in this hurling game with Ballyhale.
Yeah, I suppose it's probably anything and everything that we knew, John, from a young age growing up. Hurling was part and parcel of life. Everything revolved around hurling, I suppose, in terms of school, club and home. I have 5 other siblings there and they all played hurling as well in Camogie. So yeah, it's just a big part of life, really, and very enjoyable.
Is it a cliche, like any small parish, Ballyhale, Michael, that it's the post office, the pub, the shop and the church?
Yeah, without a doubt. Like, that's what it was back then. And I suppose we had 3 parishes that came together in the 70s to form one club. And we had Knockmylan, Ballyhale and Knockdofer. So all those areas very small, a pub, a post office, a shop, as you said. Now, again, a lot more happening back then than there is now in the villages, unfortunately, with the bypass and I suppose people maybe not living in the area as much. But no, look, everything revolved around hurling, matches, schools, matches, you name it. It was great times. And I suppose we owe a debt of gratitude, I think, in one way to the people who formed the club back in the 70s, those volunteers, the players back then, that generation who, won the bones of maybe 9 county finals, I think 8, 9 county finals, and they won 3 club All-Ireland. So they put very much Ballyhale Shamrocks on the map, and I suppose they set the benchmark for the next generation.
How much of a help was it having Henry Shefflin in the dressing room when you were a young lad and breaking your way onto the senior team with Ballyhale?
Ah, yeah, look, Henry, I suppose, if you go back to even 04 there, you in the dressing room with Henry alone, and just hearing what he's saying, and I suppose what he was learning in with Kilkenny too, and bringing it back himself, and Aidan Cummins would have been on the panel as well. And they're probably bringing back knowledge and that back to the team, to the group. And Henry, look, Henry, very passionate, inspirational player, very good at talking, speaking, and very much a big leader, I suppose, on the field for us. And to be fair to Henry, probably a lot of pressure on him personally, a lot of expectation from himself probably, and from probably teammates and supporters. But, I think he took that very well and would have very much brought people into the game as well in games. A lot of times we can go quiet in games, but to be fair, he always tried to bring guys in, and get them involved in the game and drag the thing on.
You won 5 All-Irelands, 07, 10, 15, 19, 20. What was the most satisfying of the victories for you then, Michael, with Ballyhale?
Very hard to pick out one, John, in one way. I think the first is lovely. I think the first in everything is lovely, whatever it is, to be honest. I think everyone can share those experiences well because it's completely new. I remember going on that journey for the 2007 one. We were going to different parts of the country and just the whole club were coming and there was just a huge energy and atmosphere and just enjoying every game and everyone coming with us. I suppose winning the first one again, against Loughrea, the Galway team, was nice, and to do it in Croke Park and to get your first one. But again, the Portumna one was in 2010. They gave us a good trim in the year previous in the semi-final. That was definitely something that drove me and the team, I think, in 2009 when we lost that semi-final. We lost it badly, to be honest. We didn't perform at all. And I think we got caught up in the hype and caught up in, their county players and our county players. And this is the biggest game. And I just recall in a media day that we had, and I just even recall I was getting probably distracted with all of it too, to be honest, so that was very disappointing, that game. Portumna, deserving winners, they had their homework done and they came out all guns blazing. But to get back to the All-Ireland in 2010, I suppose Portumna going for 3 in a row, they were hot favourites, and genuinely going into the game I would have said it's either going to be a tight game or Portumna could beat as well. That was the respect, I suppose, and outlook that we had. We knew Portumna were a serious outfit. But thankfully, I suppose, we all stood up that day and, we took the game to them and we came out winners then and probably comfortable enough maybe in the end.
You were in that four in a row winning team of Kilkenny 06-09. Michael, how did Kilkenny help Ballyhale and how did Ballyhale help Kilkenny, as it were?
Yeah, so look, my that time was very healthy, I suppose, in terms of the success that we had. And as I said, I was quite young and Cha, and we had a few more players there, Owen Reid as well. TJ was coming on the scene maybe in 07, 08. So all young players there within Ballyhale, there was a good crowd and good chunk of us there that came through together, plenty of energy, plenty talent. And I think that helped coming back, I suppose, from the county into the club scene, that we were coming back and probably trying to bring train to a higher level and come back with energy. And I suppose personally myself, I was in and out of those teams during that time. And I suppose the second Kilkenny, I recall even being in the shower in 2008, maybe, I think, in the shower saying to myself, I didn't get on that day. I had a broken scaphoid for 3 or 4 months in a cast for most of the year, and I didn't play anything in that game. I remember saying to myself, back in training now in a couple of days, and I'm going to really hit hard. And I had to prove myself, I suppose, to get myself back in onto the panel for the following year for Kilkenny. So there was a couple of targets there that I had to prove myself in the club side of things to drive that, and also, I suppose, try and get picked maybe for the following year. So you need that energy coming back to the club, and it's expected. Club boys have been training all year long, and they want to lift when you come back. And I suppose being that young, I think that adds to it.
There must be some light along the way as well, some good moments, some funny days. You're travelling with your neighbours and your friends to matches. I'm sure you've got some characters in the club. Every club has got a character.
Yeah, look, God, there's plenty of stories and moments, and I suppose that's what keeps us going, and the social side of things. And look, there's a number of stories. Like another one probably after celebrating after 2012, I think, county final. I think we had lost maybe 2011 from memory, county final, and we got back to 2012 to beat Dixborough. I remember being in Chef's Pub, and Joey Holland was up on one of the tables, and essentially he was up there dancing, and I was kind of down underneath him, and I kind of had my hands out waiting for him to jump, and Joey decides to jump but completely misses the distance from where I was into where he was, and completely skews it by going over my head first into the concrete. And sure, everyone was trying to scramble pick him up to see, was he all right, was he dead, has his head opened up, but sure, Joey being Joey, a bear scratching his nose maybe. Look, there's plenty of stories, hard to go through them all, but yeah. Great times, great celebrations, and important to probably celebrate them and enjoy them.
Was it strange having Henry then on the sideline? Did he have to put a bit of distance between himself and you guys because you were teammates and you soldiered together, and now he's managing and picking the team?
Not so much, I think. Myself and Henry probably had that kind of relationship that didn't really need to change. There's probably a couple of years between us. The two of us probably are fairly straight-minded in terms of, what we want to do in terms of compete and success. Very focused on that side of things, I think. So when he went from the kind of the player side of things to the manager, it didn't overly differentiate, to be honest. And I was captain at the time as well. So I suppose our relationship was probably even nearly closer again in terms of what's happening and just giving feedback maybe at times. But that didn't change. Now, if I go back to maybe Derek Ling becoming a selector with Kilkenny and myself as a player. So Derek was a former player with Kilkenny, and I would have played with him, and then he became a selector. Now, definitely I felt a gap, I suppose, in terms of relationship there and closeness, because now Derek is obviously in the management team. And again, I suppose probably a bit more serious in terms of inter-county side of things. I was in my last, 2 or 3 years with Henry, to be honest, So just different times, I suppose, more than anything. But just in terms of Ballyhale, that didn't really change.
What I'm always interested with the GAA, Michael, is how it's woven into the fabric of a community. And Ballyhale Shamrocks have experienced a fair share of pain and tragedy in recent years.
Yeah, John. Yeah, unfortunately, we've had just a number of accidents. That's what they are, car accidents, road accidents, I should say, in some cases. The latest one was losing Paul Shefflin in March as of last year. And I think that hit a nerve with a lot of people and just kind of set people back nearly in one way in terms of losing someone at that age and how it happened, and just the shock of it. Losing Paul to the club was a huge loss. And he'd be very much a fella who was involved in everything. He'd be involved in lotto, involved in soccer, involved in poker, darts, you name it. All around a guy, who just, loved the social side of things and being around people. I suppose leaving a wife and four kids as well, it was a heavy heavy time, I think, for everyone. And that's okay. I said a long time to try and make sense of that, I suppose. And even till this day, I suppose, his name is still brought up in conversations consistently, like in terms of what he would have done or thinking about stories or memories of Paul, like, you know. So, and obviously we've had players and I've had a lost parents as well, recently enough as well. So, look, every club has their losses, unfortunately for ours. It just has been a lot over the last 5 years. And I suppose in my last 2 years, John, when I was captain in Ballyhale, when we lost two boys, Owen Doyle and Eugene Elward, in the two different years, like, I suppose for us, the focus back then was just to bring a bit of peace or a bit of enjoyment back to the club, to their families, to keep the journey going, that they have a match to go to, especially in the winter time when nights are dark, there's nowhere to go. So I think that was a drive for us. Like, the silverware didn't even come into it. And that's been honest. And I was kind of happy to hear that hasn't changed. Like, you know, and I heard one or two interviews from boys lately and it's the exact same, just doing it for family, doing it for friends, doing it for the community. And that, but that may take, that possibly takes the pressure out of the success or the silverware. Like, you know, when you focus more on kind of life or death, happiness and sadness, you know, it's a different kind of a target or a different goal or a different drive.
Yeah, Owen and Eugene lost their lives in road accidents. What do you remember about Owen?
Owen Doyle?
Yes.
Owen was, you know, a character, to be honest, probably strong personality, and would have played on a junior team and part of our senior team. I know he was probably big into bikes and cars and stuff as well. And just probably a character. Again, I'd know his sister, probably Claude, a bit better. And, you know, their family, again, steeped in Camogie and within the club as well. So, you know, I recall in that last, you know, even though the last few days before his accident, like, you know, we were down water for training, you know, a few weeks before that, we're in Ballyhale training. And I recall him doing, like, he was actually come back from a serious injury, John. I think it could have been even an ACL at the time. Like, so put in a huge amount of work to get back to training with the senior team, you know, and that alone is very hard to do, especially at club level when you don't have the resources around you. So he was very much hoping, I suppose, yeah, to try and make a stab at trying to break into the senior team, no doubt, that year. Like, and just unfortunately, yeah, got caught in a motor incident.
And Eugene as well, yeah. Very, very sad.
Eugene, yeah. Okay, and a bigger character, I suppose you could say, about Eugene. Heart of the party. Again, like, Eugene would have been younger again, and I probably wouldn't have known him. Like, you know, some of my cousins would have been very friendly with him. But just a character. Like, you know, he liked his few bottles of cider. Big hearty laugh. Like, you know, and probably, you know, lads would look at him as a big bear, a big cuddly bear, and that's why he was. Huge skill levels. Now, this fella, like, you know, he's coming from the Elward side, and just, you know, really strong wrists, good wrists. Like, you know, he'd be, I'd say, more skillful than myself, no doubt, like, in terms of the first touch and that. Like, so he was a big fella, like, naturally big. Like, you know, he would have been a serious rugby player if he had to go down that route, I think, because he was naturally big and strong. But great wrists on him.
Must have made the dressing room quite a sacred place, because you're all dealing with grief in your own way, and there's no wrong way to process grief, Michael, and then you've got to remember the lads, and you're doing it for yourselves, but you're also doing it in their memory as well, you know?
Yeah, no, without a doubt. Like, it's I think it brings the group tighter together, and at those times, like, you know, I think possibly even both of those times, the second with Eugene, I think we were going into we had to call off our quarter final against Clara at senior level. And again, to fair play to Clara for helping us with that and playing it the following week. But essentially, like, lads had to take a bit of time out and to mourn and that, like, you know. And we played that game the following week. I think we might have met, John, maybe just for a chat or something. Like, we didn't train in 2 weeks or anything, and we got over the line against Clara, and I suppose, and the thing kind of just domino effect from there. Like, but the partner, like, Henry was over at that time, and Henry probably would have been able to understand the kind of the mood and that, like, and just, you know, you have to take a step back, and there is more important things in life, and then sport then can help with that, I think, as well.
How did the GA community rally around your club in the last while? Because you mentioned Paul there, and that was very shocking, sudden news. And, you know, I think I read a story that everybody was invited to a game at Croke Park and everything, and the GA sometimes gets a bit of a criticism for various different reasons, but it is good as a community, as an organisation, of supporting each other when these things happen.
I know, look, it's phenomenal, John. We all complain, and look, it normally it's fixtures, to be honest, what we complain about, and I don't know, is there an answer to all of it? And there's never going to be a perfect organization. But the GA, in terms of the positives of what it does for communities, for parishes, for people, is unbelievable how people come together and come from all over the country, especially like Paul's obviously was well known. His brother, obviously, is Henry, well known. And people would have came from all over the country to pay their respects. So doing the Guard of Honours, the jerseys, all that kind of stuff, like the identity of the club, it really comes out, I think, during those moments, during those tough times. And I don't know where we would be without it, to be honest. You know, it's a big part of Ireland, big part of our DNA, and long may it be there forever. And it's important. And I think maybe sometimes we probably do need to take a step back from it, and just look at the positives and maybe not focusing on the negatives.
So are you feeling a bit strange about going to an All-Ireland final and not being in the team and not captaining the side? Are you talking to Colin much this week?
I was probably chatting to him last week now. And again, it'd be probably brief enough chats. I don't want to be getting into too much conversation, to be honest, about it. That's how I would have been as a player. And I know Colin as well. Just brief chats more than anything. Catching up with some of the cousins there lately as well on the team. I'd rarely talk about the hurling side of it. I might just ask one question with how you're getting on, and that'll be it, to be honest. I wouldn't be looking for information or anything or what's happening. It's just I just want to leave them be, really, more than anything, and just leave them focus on themselves. Is it strange not being up there? I think I'm getting more used to it, to be honest. Yeah. When I did finish up at the club, it probably was the right time to go because my body just look. I'd end up with knee replacements very quickly. I'd end up my body being in absolute bits. There's no enjoyment in that. You need to have some sort of health in terms of your life and being somewhat pain free for as long as you can. So I think the time I called it was the right time. The boys have gone on to win five in a row club, and now they're going for another club All Ireland. But for me, I have a number of those medals, to be honest, and another one wouldn't give me that much satisfaction, to be honest, John. That's the truth of it. I think the enjoyment of training and that was just too hard in terms of the body, the pain. I've done enough, and thankfully, I played up to maybe 35, 36 or something so very fortunate to play that long and to win as much silverware as I did.
And it's Dunloy tomorrow in the All-Ireland final. What are you doing now, Michael? Obviously, you were managing Offaly there for a while, and are you involved in lecturing now?
Yeah, so just even on the Dunloy side of things, I'll be very familiar with Conan Cunning there and the Elliots and Keelan Malloy. These guys are top-end hurlers. It's not surprising that they did beat St. Thomas's, a very strong St. Thomas's team, and also beating Schlott Neal on the way as well. Keelan Malloy is a top-end player, plays midfield normally for Antrim and can play half-forward and can bang over 5 or 6 points quite easily. And obviously Cunning inside and Elliot are quite fast and pacey. So I think it's going to be a very good game. And look, I think for the GA in general and hurling in general, it's great to have a team from Antrim involved as well. And I think the more awareness that we can create around that side of things and the whole Casement Park situation, that needs to start happening a lot more quicker. Lecturing away here in TUS. We have a new course coming, John, actually in September in applied science in performance technology. So again, it's coexisting with our current strength and conditioning course as well. So things are good. That space is growing massively. There's huge demand for strength and conditioning coaches out there at the moment with schools, with teams. I think people are appreciating, I suppose, that role a lot more now as well. And obviously the technology and data side of things, that's growing hugely as well. So we have all this information. Now we need people to read it and understand it. And trying, I suppose, help that apply to training and apply to improving performance.
Is that the goal now for the next year, is to stay in that space for you, Michael?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm enjoying the lecturing side of things. I'm currently just finishing off my PhD as well at the moment. Now, I've probably been saying that for the last 6 months, 7 months, and I still haven't got it over the line yet, but I'm hoping to get it over the line in the coming 2 months maybe. And that's in leadership and management. So I think that will hopefully add value, I suppose, to anything that I do, whether it's sport or whether it's kind of on the business or lecturing side of things. I'll probably dabble a small bit with teams over next in this year, without a doubt, John. I'll do a few small bits here and there, but just family life is busy. We're expecting in May now again with our third child. So I think sometimes you have to maybe take a step back and not take on too much.
Michael Fennelly. The best luck to both tomorrow, your own club and to Dunloy. Thanks so much for speaking to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk, and the best luck now with the lecturing and with the new arrival this year.
Cheers, John. Thanks very much.
France win the first game against New Zealand. I think that sets the tone. I think they're the best team in the world.
I'm going to go Ireland. I'm going to get off the fence once and for all. This is our best chance.
Subscribe to the Rugby Stream on the OTB Sports app now.